Blog Talk Radio.
And I am a certified chief and a bona fide thought, and you can't teach that.
It's sickness.
Yeah. Dabbing Aladdin. Yeah. What y'all been waiting on, huh? Let's get into it.
Bada boom, realest guys in the room, how you doing?
Yeah, laying a smackdown on you ass clowns. Your bitch heard me spit, now she all up on my nuts like a pat down. They know I always carry mad pounds, but can't find them cause they're in the mail all wrapped in women's nightgowns. Exposing you rodents while pushing potent potions. My heritage, the diagnosis for my verbal explosions. Been chosen to leave you choking like dirt weed that you smoking. Dabbing Aladdin's in town is the reason for the commotion. But jealous people caught word, I don't care what you heard cause I'ma do me. I ain't backing down, I don't get scared. Bitch, you soft, I done paid the cost, that's why I'm the boss. Riding around the town a couple pounds, bitches love how I put it down. I ain't stopping for the fucking phone ringing, money coming in. I be blowing up, always reading up. I'm the shit, you just get the grand, that's the master plan. Fuck it, make it mills, all about my bills. You'll never catch me with a I'm in charge and I'm living large. Smoking all cigars, I will let you hit it, but you looking like a yeah. That's the game plan, hit the club and make it rain, man. Indian bitch in my lap doing the rain dance. White bitch with a spray tan, how much I gotta pay, man? I'll beat that pussy up like it's sports entertainment. I got money in the bank, bitch, and I ain't waiting. Give me the title now, I'll take it without hesitation. I shatter competition, bring them to their undertaking. Then tombstone their bitch into the motherfucking pavement. It's hell in a cell, so I stay away from cops. Cops the merch from my website, it was made in sweatshops. Enjoy the mixtape, even though you hope it flops. Ayo Enzo, hit him with it when the beat drops. Yeah, y'all catch that? Dabbing Aladdin, shattering competition. I didn't think so.
Riding around the town a couple pounds, bitches love how I put it down. I ain't stopping for a fucking phone ringing, money coming in. I be blowing up, always reading up. I'm the shit, you just get the grand, that's the master plan. Fuck it, make it mills, all about my bills. You'll never catch me with a I'm in charge and I'm living large. Smoking on cigars, I will let you hit it, but you looking like a
by jealousy. And if I was you, I'd be jealous of us too, cause you're ugly as hell.
Hey, yeah. Oh, how are you? How you doing? How's your mother? Welcome to the motherfucking Dabbing Aladdin podcast, episode 230. It is Sunday fucking night, July 24th. I'm smoking a cigar. I'm on my fucking blunts. I've been fucking smoking joints of the shit that I grew, and I've been getting fucking way too fucking stoned. So I'm just going to fucking smoke a cigar and talk some shit here with y'all. A fucking chihuahua just fucking pissed on my sheets. I was trying to start the show, and I guess I hadn't walked this little fucking Mexican in a little bit, so he just fucking pissed on my sheets. So now I got to go wash my sheets after this fucking show, so that's pretty fucking nice. And he also fucked my other dog. And she had puppies, so I have like 5 puppies now, plus Hefe, Chapo, and Zeus. Technically, I have fucking 8 dogs right now. Got a million people messaging me asking me to buy the fucking dogs. I don't know where they're going yet, what the deal is. I'll let everyone know in a little bit. Here with the motherfucking albino himself.
Who are the 5 best rappers of all time? Think about it. Dylan, because I spit hot fire.
Yo, Boomer Clark.
What's poppin', guy? How are ya?
I'm good, guy. I'm doing, getting ready.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Happy to be doing another show.
Yeah, dog. It's been a fucking minute. I did two, like, 3 a.m. shows this week, one with Kent, one with Dennis, and you were asleep for both of them. So now it's nice to have my fucking co-host back, and we are back the motherfucking airwaves. Everything is fucking good. Everybody's fucking making moves. Everybody's fucking killing it. And, yeah, we're just waiting for Obi. I was just on Xbox. I've been like Obi for fucking months saying we were going to do a show. He wanted to start like a regular show together, me and him. And we've been saying we're going to start doing some Dabbing Aladdin ones and get shit going. And we just keep like putting it off and putting it off. And then earlier he joined our Xbox party when Dylan and I were playing Xbox. And he was saying we should do a show. And I was like, yo, fuck it. I'll do one tonight. So I texted him the number. He texted me back and was like 9 o'clock. And I was like, yeah. So he's late. I know black people time is typically like 15 minutes late-ish, something like that. So he'll probably be here soon. We just got to fucking shoot the shit for a few until he fucking gets here. Yeah. Fucking, what's good with you, Dylon? You fucking growing weed now?
I've always wanted to do it for a while, so I figured finally I have the money, so fucking why not give it a shot?
Hell yeah. This is a fucking move, dude. It's really like, I've been trying to explain this shit to people. Like, it's really like a fucking trade. Like, it's really, it pretty much is a trade. Growing weed is as much a trade as fucking being a fucking electrician or a plumber. You know what I'm, you have to work with electric stuff.
Yeah.
You have to deal with shit. It's pretty much the fucking same thing as all of those. You have to fucking, you have to learn it. Like, everybody, I'm sure, what blows my mind, honestly, when you start to think about it, is how many people smoke weed and how many people have actually seen a weed plant and how many people would actually know how to grow weed. You know what I'm saying? Like, the number of people who smoke weed is a fucking shitload, and I guarantee you less than half of them have ever seen, like, a fucking weed plant. You know what I mean? It's like a mystical thing when someone sees a weed plant for the first time. They're like, their mind is fucking blown. Like, they've never fucking seen it before. And then, I'm sure there's people that go both ways. I'm sure there's some people that think growing weed is way easier than it is, and some people that think it's, like, way harder. It's really just as fucking hard as you want to make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can fucking put a lot into it and get fucking fire weed, or you can just plant some seeds out there, outside, and maybe get some fucking mids. And, yeah, I fucking grow dank weed. Like, the shit that I grow is fucking the best shit. Like, I've literally been dabbing like a fucking gram of diamonds every single day for the last couple months, and then now I'm chilling on the fucking diamonds and I'm just splazing the shit that I grew. And I honestly, I'm definitely getting fucking way higher. I mean, I'm not trying to like brag and say my weed gets me higher than fucking diamonds, but like the shit, it's just different shit. Like, different stuff does different shit to you. Like, you get higher. It's like a different high when you smoke weed than if you're just dabbing straight THC, because when you're just doing straight THC, it's just the straight THC high to the fucking dome, and that's what it is. When you're smoking weed, and it's the same thing when you're eating edible. Like, if you eat an edible that was made from weed, or if you eat an edible that was just made from distillate, like, someone could give you an edible and they're going to say, like, it has the fucking 1,000 milligrams of distillate in it. You'll get fucking stoned, but it's just going to be like a kind of like the head high, like a drug type high. When you actually smoke weed, or when you actually eat something that was made with like weed or like the full spectrum hash, whatever the fuck it is, that shit is going to give you a more full high. That shit is like, it has all the cannabinoids, every fucking part of the weed. So it's a more full effect. THC, the most THC content, I mean, I think it's safe to say it'll get you the highest, but if it's in a weed, it's different. It's different when you have the fucking full thing. Let me do the fucking alphabets quick. There we go.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Obi Trice, real name, no gimmick. Rap, I've been in it ever since I was invented. That's cause the nigga.
Yeah, what's poppin', Obi?
Hey, can y'all hear me, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Can y'all hear me? You can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you good.
Okay. Okay, I'm just making sure because I got this AT&T-ass headset on. straight from 2000 file that I kind of found. So I was hoping it came through a little clear.
It's coming through good.
Okay. And just to let y'all know, it is some work going on in the house, so you might hear a little clink every now and then, or you might hear a little, you know, background chatter.
Yeah, yeah, we can hear some people in the background. It's cool, though. It's cool, though.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be
too long, though. So.
Yeah, it's straight. So we were saying on Xbox, you wanted to get into talking about fucking old people.
Yeah. Yeah, mostly I was talking about the ones that's in charge and stuff. And when I say that, like, I ain't talking about, like, well, really, it's when you think about it, like, say for instance, like, jobs, right? They have all these complaints about, you know, people not being able to make enough money or people don't want to work. But in actuality, all of the best jobs right now are still being filled by people who probably should be out of work. Cause like,
yeah,
where I work
like
at,
the president.
For instance, right? Yeah. Like, if we want to talk about on a level that, you know, me and you can understand or we can relate to, I should say. So say where I work for a hospital. I work for the environmental services people. Now, there are several ladies there who are like my mom's age. My mom is at home comfortable and retired. Okay, she's not going back to work ever. These women are her age, and they in there working for environment, and it's hard work, you know what I'm saying? They cleaning hospital rooms and stuff, and they on their feet 7.5 hours out of the day, you know what I'm saying? But these are the people who should probably be moving over, a younger crowd of people who they swear don't want to work can fill those jobs. They good paying, you know, for this area, they good paying jobs, you know what I'm saying? Now, if you want to start talking about, you know, on a level where we talking about the government, I was saying when we were talking on Xbox earlier, I was telling you about Diane Feinstein. The lady's like 93. You know what I'm saying? She can't even hold
Google
her own feet. She don't know where she is. She don't know where she is. She's like a walking corpse, basically. You know what I'm saying? And the problem that we're going to have in the next few years is all of these old heads. Excuse me, I got a damn cough. And then all the old heads in that position gonna start dying off, and then it's gonna be a scramble, just like when that judge died. You see how much of a scramble that was for them to try to find somebody to replace her when they should.
That's why all this shit happened with abortion, right?
Yeah.
Or was that something different?
They should have been getting her out of the way 10 or 15 years ago. But she's so stubborn, you know, but and then they don't take care of their business like they're supposed to. They know if she would have moved when Obama was in office, they would have got another Republican judge.
Right.
NW, not want anyone. Because when it was time for them to do it, they did. So,
yeah,
you know, you talked about Pelosi.
Yeah. That fucking does make so much sense, though, dude. Like, that bitch could have left when Obama was in office, and he would have replaced her with who they all wanted. And then she was like, no, I think I'm going to live to be 1,000. I'll just fucking wait. And then she waited, and now they're fucked. You know what I mean? That's like, they didn't want to be fucking realistic. And I think it has to hurt, like, the overall evolution of the country and humanity when you just have these old fucks in there, because who's going to get in there with like a young idea and keep shit moving forward when we just have all these fucking dinosaurs in there? Like, I'm sure it's like with that level with the country and shit, I guess they want to keep like fucking tradition and make sure you don't like go too crazy. But like at a certain point, we have to like fucking innovate and move forward. And I don't think the innovation is going to happen with dinosaurs in charge.
It would be, you know, I ain't saying that we should be where we don't take a counsel or anything, but if you got your top, the top four people in, you know, in government are all at least 78 years old, you know what I'm saying? At least they're all pushing 80, and most of them are 80 or over. You know, old girl Pelosi, she old as hell. You know what I'm saying? She's been around for a long ass time. It's just like you said, they get comfortable. And it's probably going to happen to most of us as we get older.
we get to a point where we hit a wall with growth. You know what I'm saying? We like to say stuff like you never stop learning and you never stop growing, but you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You hit a peak in your personality. You know what I'm saying? You hit a peak in your person. You know what I'm saying? And then once you get to a certain age and you hit that peak, it's very difficult to become a different person at that time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why when, you know, we don't, that's why in other countries you see them having, you know, leaps and bounds. It's because they kind of keep fresh faces in there and they have more than just old people running stuff. You know what I'm saying? But here, like, our geriatric people are, like, they in charge of everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if anything important, somebody elderly is running it. You know what I'm saying? Well, and then you got people like Bezos and them, but they in their mid-50s. They on their way to being those people.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So we always gonna have that. We're going to have that issue for a long time because the people who in charge are, like, the elderly, and then the people right behind them are right on the cusp of being that. And of course, we got some young people sprinkled in, but just like with anything, they got their they have their little, we can call them minions, you know what I'm saying? Which is, you know, they always going to be outside of that main group because they're going to have people who can infiltrate younger crowds. Because half the time, some old 80-year-old show up, come on, he want to talk to even us. Even people my age, I'm in my 40s. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be looking at them like, I don't really want to have that conversation with you. But if they able to train somebody that's my age or your age and mold them in the ways of the old guard, then, yeah, they can come in and they can sneak in and they can, you know, they can talk to people and they can try to change minds. But that's really why we don't have a lot of stuff. That's why we don't have, like, a light train and go across the country in a couple of hours, or that's why our transportation system in every city just about is crappy. You know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Because we had these people who stonewalled progression, and they mostly old people or people who being close to trained by old people.
And like the way the system is set up, like, you're not going to get to that level until you're fucking old. It's like when you'd be listening to Kevin Samuels, I've heard it a few times where, like, a girl calls in, and she's like, I want a guy that makes $400,000 a year, and I don't want him to be over 35 years old. And I want him to be like a lawyer or something, or a doctor. And he would be like, ma'am, do you know how that practice works? They're not going to be making that much money at that age. You're not going to make that much money until you're fucking way older. So, like, these bitches are fucking delusional, but that's just how the system is like, you have to, like, the way that most people in this country, it's fucking set up for, is you take out a giant loan and go to college, have what's supposed to be the best 4 years of your life where you just get drunk and have sex and do a bunch of stupid shit, and then you're supposed to graduate and then somehow be able to pay off the thousands to hundreds of thousand dollars of debt that you're fucking in, and most of them aren't going to be able to do it, and they're going to end up working at a fucking shit job to pay off a $100,000 loan for a useless fucking degree that they can't do anything with. So you're just in a fucking hole from the very beginning.
Most definitely. And that's, and like, the other thing that people tend to leave out is, and they be having us thinking that a lot of these people done got on the grind and made their way from dirt. When in actuality, it's very few people who start from nothing and end up being a millionaire. A lot of these
people,
they had trust funds, they have stuff left in their names, you know, it's all kind of nest eggs and stuff, and, you know, from the time they kids, they got people around them that's planning and making a path for them to you know, be a senator or something like that, but it just come from, you know, being in money, and it ain't even got to be big money. Some of these people just, like, you know, they might be worth seven figures, but it's only $1 million. But that still puts you in the place where you got a great advantage over.
Yeah, it's just
like you.
Yeah, it's just like we were saying on Xbox before. It's like the advantage is what I was trying to compare it to is, like, the country's basically a giant fucking shopping mall, and there are people who were here from the very first day when the mall opened and set up their store in the mall, and business hasn't stopped for however many fucking years. And those people have, their families have, they've, you know, the person probably died and they have a family and their family continued their business. And at the end of the day, these people have been here since the beginning and they've molded through the evolution to the point where they own industries. So if you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to be an entrepreneur and start my own business, but I'm just fucking Joe from Massachusetts and I'm broke and I'm just going to start a business from scratch, eventually you're going to fucking reach a point where you're trying to take over a part of the industry that's already fucking owned by someone who has millions of dollars and you don't have any, and their families own the industry forever, and there's no way you're going to be able to compete with them. The more you get, the more you're taking from other people, and once you start to reach a certain level, they're going to make sure that you don't get any bigger. And it's like, all these people who were born on third base and didn't have to, you know, take out a loan to go to college and had their dad set up a fucking, you know, job for them and college for them and didn't have to fucking do anything. Like, that's fine with me. Like, you shouldn't not have that. If your family can do that for you, then that's fucking great. But don't, what I think more people need to start getting on people's fucking cases about is the people who were born on third base and want to act like they weren't and want to act like they're an underdog and want to act like they had to fucking struggle when they didn't have to do shit. Like, that's fine. If you were born into that, I'm fucking happy for you. If you want to help me out, I'd appreciate it. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. But if you were born there, then don't try to make it look like you had to fucking struggle. Like, Dan Bilzerian, right? That fucking guy, fellow Armenian. But he's a fucking trust fund baby. He was born with a trust fund, and if you look at the date that all of his shit started blowing up, it's right when he got his trust fund money. So as soon as daddy's money came through, he fucking started stunting online, started fucking, you know, getting all this crazy shit, and then he came up with this story that he's a poker player and he won all this money playing poker. And it's like, dude, we all know you did not win the money playing poker. You're a fucking trust fund baby. You didn't come up from nothing and win it in a poker game, and now you're banging slots on yachts. That's not how it happened. You're a trust fund kid. So that's cool. And, like, fucking, this fucking comedian, Andrew Schulz, like, he just fucking rubs me the wrong way, dude. I just don't really fucking like this guy because, like, I couldn't really pinpoint my finger on what I didn't like about him. He would just seem obnoxious to me when I would watch him. He's like, I guess he used to be on fucking MTV back in the day, and now he has his, like, has his YouTube show called Giving Him a Fucking Shout Out There. But his show is basically him, an Indian guy, and a black guy. And to me, I would just name the show A White Guy Trying to Impress Minorities, because he just, like, tries to, like, be like, tries to basically just act like he's black or a minority and, like, tries to show how culturally diverse he is and how much he knows about other cultures. And it just fucking comes off as so fucking corny and gay to me. And I wouldn't really say anything about it, but then he puts out his fucking new special and he, like, does this whole marketing campaign, like, I'm so dangerous and I'm so offensive that whatever streaming service I sold this to, like, they were too scared of it because I'm so dangerous. So I spent my whole life savings and I bought it back. And if you don't buy it, I'm going to be poor because it's my life savings. He's like, dude, you didn't fucking spend your life savings to buy it back. And you're not a fucking dangerous. Like, you don't say anything fucking controversial. You just go up there and try to impress minorities. And you fucking suck. And you're from New York. And he's just fucking annoying to me, dude. And I'm like, dude, you're born into a fucking wealthy family. You work for MTV. You can't tell me you fucking had it hard. And then you're like, oh, I had to use my life savings to buy this. Please support me. He's trying to create an underdog story for himself when he's not a fucking underdog to try to gain sympathy from us. You know what I mean? And you're not going to fucking fool me. Like, you're not – I just don't
like, – 100%.
That shit has to be offensive to people who've had to struggle. Like, when people who have not had to struggle want to make it seem like that. I think, like – I don't know when this shit started. I think probably with, like, hip-hop culture and shit, when it would be, like, cool to kind of boast about on rap how hard your life has been. And then kids were like, yeah, I want my life to be hard, too. Like, look at how hard it is for me. And now they just want you to root for them like an underdog. But don't do that. If I was rich, I would just be like Vince McMahon. I wouldn't be trying to say I'm an underdog. I would just be like, yeah, I'm a fucking rich asshole. Kiss my ass. You know what I mean? And that's just fucking what it would fucking be. Let me fucking touch on Vince McMahon real quick. This actually kind of fucking ties into all this shit, honestly, because we're talking about old people running shit and how it's never going to stop. And I've done the wrestling shows for a couple years, very famously. Everyone knows the champ, AEW, all that shit. But I've definitely said a lot of times on shows that, like, oh, this is happening because of Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon's never going to not be in charge, and this shit's just going to get ruined forever, and he's never going to not be in charge. He's never going to go away. If Triple H was in charge, it would be better. He's never going to let anybody do what they want to do. Vince McMahon sucks, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm sure I've bitched about him before, and I thought, I mean, it's his family's company, so I would see why he wants to run it. 77 years old, however old he is, that falls in the same category as fucking Biden and Trump and as being a little bit of fucking old and delusional, but still being in charge and like everyone else we're talking about. But he's like a character as well as like the owner of the company, and he has brought us a lot of great stuff, and it is his fucking company. And if he were to be leaving without any controversy, if Vince McMahon just said, look, I'm 80 years old, I might not be in touch with the current world as much as my younger daughter or son or my son-in-law or any of these people. I'm going to step down and let someone else run it and bring it into the new generation. That would be amazing. We could have a big, like, going away party. It would be like, that would be really awesome. But the way that he's forced out is this not the way this fucking ends. This guy's 77 years old. He's Vince fucking McMahon. And you're telling me that this saga is going to end because Vince McMahon got his dick wet. Like, you can't be fucking serious, dude. Like, he's Vince McMahon. Of course he fucks bitches. He's in charge of what sluts he thinks are hottest and hot enough to be on TV. Of course he's going to drive the cars. You know what I'm saying? And he paid these fucking bitches hush money so that they would keep hush. And now they decided to not keep hush, and he has to fucking step down from his company and be embarrassed. They're going to try to fucking Harvey Weinstein him, all that shit. He didn't fucking rape anybody. He fucked these sluts, and then he paid them millions of dollars to be quiet, and then they chose not to be quiet. So what's good with the millions of dollars he gave them? Do they have to give it back? They should. I doubt they're actually going to. They're probably going to keep the millions of dollars, and he has to step down from his company and be embarrassed. It's just fucked up. Like, The fact that all this fucking, like, bullshit has reached Vince McMahon's level, and now Vince McMahon is getting fucking taken down. It's just fucking not a good way for him to... I fucking hate it, dude. It's the worst ending to a fucking story ever.
Yeah, and it's and I ain't heard a lot about it, but I'm at the point right now where I'm not really, like, keeping up with it. But, it's definitely that's a strange thing. And my thing is this too: if someone's going to take some money, some hush money or something like that, then they should be able to come back at a later date and press charges or something.
Yeah.
But like I said, when it kind of tie in to what we're talking about with older people, and they mindset. You know what I'm saying? When you're the oldest person in the room and you're the only person who still has that ancient mindset, then everybody else in the room start plotting on how they're going to get you out the room. Because, if you start creating spaces of resentment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People really start liking you and some of the things that may have been fine for you to do, when you were 60, you're 77 now, times change. And like I said, when you reach that peak, you ain't telling you what the times you who you is. And you got money like he got. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just, I'm pretty sure if it would have happened earlier, we would have got more fight out of Vince. So probably at this time, he's probably looking at it like, I done made enough money.
Yeah.
I don't think this giant corporation that's never going to go away. Somebody's always going to talk about the WWE.
Yeah, it's just so like... If these people were leaving when they should leave, these problems wouldn't be happening. If that bitch left when she was supposed to leave, then bitches would still be able to kill their babies. You know what I'm saying? If Vince McMahon left when he was supposed to leave, then he wouldn't be getting accused of rape right now because he would already be retired and it wouldn't matter. But they fucking stick around too long. It's like they're in a gangster. It's like you're watching Scarface and you're like, all right, dude, you're good. Just stop now. And then they don't stop and then they get killed. And it's like, it would be like Tom Brady fucking gets killed on the field this year, which would be kind of fucked up. But, like, it would be like, yeah, he didn't know when to fucking leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, that's why I always say, freaking Hugh Hefner got out just the right time. Like, imagine if he was still alive right now, all the accusations that'd be thrown at him.
Man, because it's just like, that's basically what the reaction is. We have all these elders who are way past their due date and in their position. But, you know, when you getting the kind of money they getting and that recognition, and you've been doing it as long as these people have, that's a hard thing to give up, bro. You know what I'm saying? And then you got, especially when you start talking about elected officials. So then people get used to these faces. It's almost like they are family members. So you don't really want to see them go if you like them. And so you continue to vote for them even though you see them failing. You know what I'm saying? Like, take Joe Biden, for instance. People fought for him for these past 2 years. You know what I'm saying? But now they finally starting to see the fact that some of us was right about him. He's a little too old and beyond his years to be in a position he is. You know what I'm saying? Because you ain't as sharp, so you're not sitting around thinking about new and innovative things. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like your mind ain't working like that no more. I hate to say it, but the older you get, the less cognitive you are. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you only can rely on the things that you've learned up to a certain point. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I'm fucking 31, and if I had to go learn a new job right now, I'd be fucked. You know what I mean? Like, this is all I fucking know. I can't do anything else now. Like, I can't fucking do anything else. If I were to do something else, I'd be doing fucking 20 times the work and getting, like, a half the month. I'd be getting fucking minimum wage. Like, and that shit is fucking ridiculous. It's like, I think...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was saying, like, and then fucking the pandemic happens, and they're giving everybody fucking, you know, $500 to $800 a week to fucking stay home. And then they want them to go back to work. And it's like, you were getting paid for like 40 hours worth of work at what most people get to fucking stay home and do nothing. And then they're like, all right, now everyone go back to work and get probably less money than you were getting for doing nothing. Yep. And it's like, dude, why are we doing this? Most of these jobs robots can do. It's really fucking shitty labor, like all these jobs. It's just how much work can we get out of them for the little? For how little. And then meanwhile, the dude in charge is fucking, you know, pulling up in a fucking Mercedes. Absolutely nothing. You know what I'm saying? Just fucking getting the most money. It's fucking insane. I learned, like, that's one good thing. Honestly, like, I hated doing it when I was younger, and I've always been like, my childhood would have been better if I didn't have to do this. But I started working the day I turned 14. Like, right when I turned 14, I went to the high school, got my work permit papers, and I started bagging groceries for $6.75 an hour. And I worked shitty jobs from when I was fucking 14 to when I was 21, and I would always look at the owner of the store and talk to the owner of the store and know one day I want to be the fucking owner of a store so I can just be in charge of all these people and not have to fucking do shit. I'm still working my way there, but a lot of people who didn't start working until after college, like, I couldn't imagine not working my whole life, then going to college for 4 years and then getting out and being expected to fucking work. Like, for me, it was always, I always had work and school, and I never really gave a shit about school. So I was just like, how am I getting money? And like, I fucking dropped out of college after 6 weeks of regular college, and I went to community college. I got into one college in Vermont for video game design, and I like wanted to go there. I was really beautiful there. Like, it was cool as hell, but it was fucking $30,000 a year. My family doesn't have money. I'd have to fucking take out a loan, and I'd be in debt $120,000 when I'm fucking 22 years old. And there's no way you're climbing out of that, dude. Like, it's just not going to fucking happen. And now, if you want a fucking decent job, all these kids have to go to regular four-year school, then they have to go to another grad school. They do so much shit to try to get a fucking job, and half of them just end up working a fucking shit job anyway. You didn't even need a fucking degree for it, because like you said, all jobs are occupied by fucking old people, and they'll be like, you need experience. You need 5 years experience. It's like, well, how am I supposed to get experience if you're not going to give me the fucking job? You know what I mean?
Like, and that's the thing, and that's how they run you around, and that's how they keep, you know, that's how they keep themselves and the people that they know, because they'll tell you that you have to have 5 years because you coming in not knowing any of them. You know what I'm saying? But they, you know, the old guard, they run on that for real. Who you know, you know, you can overstep 5 or 6 people if you know the right old head.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, yeah, I'll get you in here.
Oh, no, sorry, finish?
No, you can go ahead.
Oh no, I was saying the same reason why you can't get the same reason why people without money and connections can't start a business is the same reason why people without money and connections can't get a fucking good job, because they have it set up where in order to get anything good, you have to be able to do it for free for a while. Like, if you want to start up a business, you're going to have to be able to not make any money from it for 5 years. And most people need money today. So you can't just be like, yeah, I'm going to do this and not make any money for 5 years, and then I'll be good.
Yep.
And if you want to get a decent job, I've talked to some fucking smart people and shit. I'm pretty sure with most of the shit, you need to do a fucking unpaid internship for like a year or two first. So you're going to need to have money stashed up or somewhere to stay or something so that you don't need income for a year or two so you can do this for free and really give it your all and become good at it. So then they'll eventually pay you to do it. And then you'll have a good job.
The only things I've seen besides, like you said, if you want like a rich people job, the only other way to do it besides doing a fucking internship for free and working for free like an idiot, or you can go get a trade skill and fucking trade skills pay.
Trade skills are the best thing, dude. If I had a kid right now, I'd tell them to get a job. My uncle is like fucking maybe 80.
Don't get a job.
People
always get a job or like just something to make money. Don't get a fucking job. Fucking get a career. Get something you can fucking move up in. Like get into something, a field where you can actually move up. Like people say job. I just hear in Hannaford, like, let me go get a job at a grocery store. Moving up is still not anything.
Dude, I was in Stop and Shop the other day and I heard an ad that said, we're hiring. If you're looking for a first job or the next step in your career, how is that the same thing? It doesn't sound like the next step in your career if it can be somebody's first job.
Yeah, dude. I've known people that have worked at those places for like 20 plus years, and they're making probably like $5 to $6 more than when they started. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're barely fucking getting what you should be from the company. They don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah, dude. Not at all.
Find a company that actually cares.
Yeah. Forget what I was going to say a fucking second ago before you said that. What was I saying? Do you remember? My fucking
uncle
Khalil. Yeah, like 5 years ago, my uncle Khalil told me that his advice for me would be to learn a technical skill. He didn't say trade. He's like an old hippie. He said a technical skill. That's honestly like the best advice. If I had a fucking kid right now, I would want them to learn a trade, because in reality, like, I'm not from a rich family. I don't have money, but it's a fucking gamble to think you're going to go to college and then get a job in the thing you went to college for. But guess what?
Yep.
People are always going to shit, and it's always going to fucking get hot in the summer. So if you learn fucking AC, if you learn to become a plumber, if you learn any of that, you're going to be at a very early age after high school, you're going to be making more money than all your fucking peers, and you're going to be doing it consistently. Yes, someone may go to school for 8 years and then get an internship and then have a $100,000 job, $200,000 job after that, but you're going to be making fucking 80K a year every year after you're 21. You know what I mean? Like, that shit isn't going to fucking stop. Yo.
It's funny.
I'm in the middle of a show. I'll text you after.
My dad's like busting my balls over fucking laundry right now. I told him my fucking pissed on my sheets and I need to go fucking wash them. And he's like giving me shit. It's late. I'm like, yeah, well, I don't want to fucking sleep and piss. So like, I don't know.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm not trying to give him shit. He fucking helps me. But I told him I'm in the middle of a show. But yeah.
Like you were saying with that, to go off of that, like even with, everybody always says, oh, learn programming, learn computer programming. And it's like, even if you learn that shit, you still got to do it, either an internship or you got to be lucky enough to invent a program that people like recognize and then hire you based off of your skill making that thing.
Yeah.
And that's just as hard. You know, like you said,
yeah,
you need
it's a fucking gamble
like that.
Yeah. It's a gamble. You're
Whereas
not going to get it unless you know anyone.
A guarantee.
Yeah, dude. Like, if you learn a technical skill, you're fucking good. I went to high school with this kid, Rusty, and he, like, never gave a fuck about anything in high school. He just, like, got into trouble, just got bad grades, did not give a shit about anything in high school. It was the biggest joke to him because his dad had a plumbing company, and he knew 100% after school he's going to be a plumber with his dad. So does not matter how he does in math class, does not matter how he does in English science. He's going to go to plumbing school after, and he already knows everything. And he's going to fly through it easily and then get money. And now that kid, like, I'm pretty sure like 10 years ago, he was like, yeah, I just bought a house. And I was like, damn, dude, what the fuck? Like, it happened so fast because they know what they're going to do. All these people are sold a fucking fake American dream that they're going to, like, change the world,
yep.
Or they're going to be famous. They're going to be a famous TikToker. They're going to be a famous fucking this. They're going to be president. They're going to be that. And then, like, they spend their fucking valuable years dreaming of how great it's going to be. And then they're like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to settle for that. I don't want to settle for that. And it all starts to fucking fade away, and then they get fucking nothing. So if you can choose earlier what you want to do, you're going to be way better off. You may not fucking love it, but you're going to be fucking fine, and you can build on that later on.
Yep. I didn't even realize how hard it was to even get into the state jobs, like get my job. I just was asking around like last month before I went away for a bit about like getting these kind of jobs, and they were like, yeah, you really don't get these unless you know somebody. And then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, shit, my aunt did make a bunch of calls to like people higher up than what I applied for to like get my resume pushed through. And it's like, it really is true. You really just have to know somebody to get a decent job.
A lot of experience on your resume that they just can't deny it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then to get that experience, then you still need to do, like we were saying, start at the bottom.
Yeah, and if you fail, you're fucked, dude. Now, I've been working for myself since I was fucking 21, so 10 years I have no job on my resume. If I go hand in my resume right now, they're going to be like, where the fuck were you for 10 years? Did you go to jail or something? Like, they're not and then or they're going to be like, "What?" I've been like, oh, I've been running my own company. And they're going to be like, oh, then why are you coming here? Because your company failed and you're an idiot? That's essentially what it's going to fucking be. So I'm kind of fucked at this point. I'm knee-deep in the fucking shit. I can't get out of this at this point.
Yeah, you're not even going to be able to adjust to the whole scheduling thing. My whole life, and I'm not adjusted to the whole scheduling thing. Like, the job I got now, like, I ain't worked on the weekend in, like, 6 years. Now I'm at a job where they want me to work on the weekend. I hate it. You know what I'm saying? And it's not something that I'm going to adjust to mentally because I hate it.
That's one thing I was lucky about my job is they let me make my schedule.
Yeah, dude, like the other night I was shooting the shit with the guy that works at the gas station, like late at night. He works overnights. I was in there like midnight, 1 a.m. We were just shooting the shit, talking about growing weed. And like all the guys that were coming in, there was like a couple different guys. The one that stuck out to me was an electrician. He came in his electrician truck. It was like midnight, 1 a.m. He bought a pack of Marlboros and a gas station sandwich. And was like, we talked to him for a second. He was like, yeah, I'm going to eat this, smoke this, go to sleep, wake up tomorrow, do it again. It was like, dude, that fucking sucks, dude. I do not want that fucking life where you work from God knows how early in the morning to midnight. And like, yeah, he's probably I was just saying, you got to learn a trade. He's probably making good money as an electrician, but I couldn't fucking do that fucking schedule. Meanwhile, you know, he's probably got a wife at home that's just spending all his money, living the fucking dream, vacationing.
Exactly.
And this dude's just fucking busting his fucking ass until midnight, and then his reward is a fucking gas station sandwich and a couple Marlboros.
That's what I always learned growing up. I'm like, why do I want to work from, like, I see all my friends' dads commuting from, like, Massachusetts and shit, or being gone, like, all day, getting home, sleeping, going back, and I'm like, why the fuck do I want to do that? Why do I want to make all this money just for my family to enjoy it while I'm slaving away? Like,
yeah,
fuck
that.
I'd rather have time to enjoy the fucking shit I'm bringing home.
And this shit becomes like a cute meme to all these sluts online. I see TikToks all the time like, my husband's working so hard to make $300,000 a year, and I'm on my way to Target with the Starbucks for the fifth time this week. Ha 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 ha. It's like, all right,
yeah,
you fucking
why
useless whore. He should fucking leave you. I hope he's banging whores right now.
Usually what they're doing. I mean, that's all the rich dads I knew. They were all banging somebody on the side. That's why they were never home.
Yeah, dude.
Because they fucking hated going home.
You get a fucking dime piece babysitter and just fucking nail her for an extra couple hundo.
One of my friend's dads was way up in corporate for a company. And, they found out he bought a house, like, in the same town, just, like, on the other side of town. So he had two houses in town, one his family lived in and one he just used for, like, his bang hut.
That's
fucking
awesome.
He fucking divorced the wife and literally just moved into the other house.
That's the fucking dream, dude. That's like what all my fucking young dudes out there who are getting your heart broken right now. I know a few I talk to, try to help, give advice to, and like A lot of you were fucking way better looking than me when I was younger. I was a fat loser. I didn't get laid till after high school. I'm still a fat loser, but I get pussy now. But anyway, like, what you have to learn as a man, especially, I think this is very valuable to know when you're getting your heart broken when you're younger. It's not just like some bullshit, like how they'll be like, how when you're younger, they'll be like, all the popular kids from school grow up to be ugly losers and the nerds are all cool. That's not true. If you're cool, you're probably cool forever and you're probably going to figure shit out. But it's just like,
if you're cool, you're,
as a man,
money, so you're
as a man, you need to know that your value is going up pretty much until the day you die. Your value is going up. And these sluts' value skyrocket and they plateau at about 20 years old. And then after that, it's just fucking downhill for them. And there's really nothing they can do about it. And they, in the words of my friend Aaron's dad, they start to lose their mind and smell bad. And that's exactly what fucking happens to all of them.
Yeah.
That's what they fucking do. Because their friends start getting married and having kids. They start realizing their pussy's about to dry up and they need to have a kid quick. And then you're a guy and you couldn't fuck all these bitches when you were younger, but now you're established. You got a place, you got a car, you got all this shit going on. And these bitches are fucking bagging groceries, just trying to find a dick to ride to get out of their shitty situation. And you can be that dick. You know what I mean? You can find a fucking hot girl working a minimum wage job and pull her in, and she's going to think you're a fucking king. And she may be 19 years old. You may be 35, but who the fuck cares? You know what I'm saying? You can get that pussy now. When I was younger, I couldn't bang the chicks I worked with. They were all really hot. They didn't want to fuck me. They wanted to fuck older dudes. Guess what? Now I'm the older dude. Bam. That's how it fucking works. You know what I'm saying? Like, your value is going up. Girls want a fucking older guy with fucking money. And guys want younger girls. So when you're younger, all the girls you're trying to bang aren't interested in you because they're banging older dudes with money. Then you become an older dude with money, and you can either A, finally bang those younger girls, or B, get sucked into a bitch that's going to ruin your fucking life and make you miserable with all of her miserable shit. Those are essentially the fucking options. And they try to make you look like you're a villain and hate woman if you choose to bang all the sluts you couldn't bang when you were younger. But that's just society
just
trying to keep you down.
If you're if you're going to bang all these random sluts and you pay any of them hush money, make sure they sign a contract saying that if they say anything about you fucking them, that you have to get them. Yeah, you have to get the money back, like, if they say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's even harder for somebody who, like, actually has to have a clean name for their career. Me, if you Google my name, you're going to find 20 articles and 10 videos at least about how I'm a transphobe. You're going to find all these fucking posts about me. I got people, I get my fucking, all my printing shit is done by like a fucking gangster ass Spanish dude with teardrop tattoos. And someone called the print shop or started messaging them, telling them not to print my shirts and stickers for me because I'm a racist transphobe and don't like Jews and trans. And he was like, as long as he's not a pedophile, I don't give a shit. And they were like, but he's racist. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely not a fucking pedophile, so we're good.
Yeah, I'm not a bitter. As long as I'm not a bitter, I'm cool.
Yeah, that's how it
seriously
fucking should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, seriously, though. It's not how it goes.
Like, why do I have to think that women have dicks to have my shirts printed? Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
For the same reason you're supposed to like them or date them?
Yeah, it's fucked up. And then all, like, yo, I have a friend who's on the fucking, I don't know why, he just started going off recently about how, you know exactly who I'm talking about, Dylan. Started saying how, like, he thinks that trans people are, he thinks that, like, all the transphobia is a reason for all the violence and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, let me ask you something. If you met a girl and she had a dick and she wanted to blow you, would you let her blow you? And he was like, no. And I was like, transphobe? You're a fucking transphobe.
Yeah, exactly. So I was about to say, any of them, anybody that says, oh, why do you have an issue with trannies, blah, 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 any of them, if you ever ask them, okay, so let's put it this way, you meet a girl, you're having a great time, you fucking connect immediately, talk till the morning. All of a sudden, you reach in her pants and there's a dick. You're going to run? Most of them are like, yeah. And it's like, all right, you're a transphobe.
I'm going to fucking kill
like,
him.
No,
I'm going
like,
to kill him slash her slash they immediately.
That's what I mean. Like, the people that say that are also the ones that are like, oh, trannies are awesome. Like, you got to respect them. And it's like, you just literally said you wouldn't, so you're a transphobe.
Yeah.
Every time I ask them, they want to be like, no, like, don't talk to me about it then. Like,
yeah,
if that's what a transphobe is, then I'm a transphobe. Sorry, I don't want to fuck a dude.
It's weird. You'll tell me that I'm supposed to be open to it, but you don't have one. Like, how did that work?
Yeah. And it, dude, the thing is, I've listened to it on podcasts and shit. All these fucking trans women, or like the women with dicks, they're all dating guys that used to be gay or are gay, and they say that the tranny isn't gay. They'd be like, oh no, this is different than being with a guy. This is a woman. No, it's not. It's just a guy with a fucking ponytail and earrings, dude. Like, you're banging a dude. Don't tell me you're not gay.
You're banging a woman.
Yeah, and then you got the fucking psychos like Nyla Rose and his fucking wife, who are like, we're a lesbian couple, but one of us has a dick, but we're lesbians. So, dude, you're straight.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
You're straight. Just be straight. Like, what
I'm
is
pretty
you
sure
straight
we saw
with
this.
All these extra steps?
Yeah, I'll say he's straight.
If you have a dick, okay, if you say you're trans and you still have your dick and you dress as a chick, you're a cross-dresser. You're not a fucking tranny. You're a cross-dresser. Like, plain and simple.
Yeah.
That's all Nyla Rose is a cross-dresser.
Yeah. Dude, this is the thing. Yeah. Like, I think because the internet, people are involved in, like, too many worlds. Like, I knew that there's, like, trans and shit, but I didn't really know, like, how many of them there were or how vicious they were until
Nyla
Rose shit happened.
And
like, if I was in my own little world in fucking Stoughton where I just fucking smoke weed and box and rap, like, I wouldn't know that these people, I don't interact with them. They're not in my circles. I don't see them ever. They're not in – I'm not saying I, like, actively am against them. I'm just saying they're not in my circles. I don't hang out with them. Like, nothing against them. You live in your world. I live in mine. It's fucking fine. But now they get online and they're like, everybody has to be in our world. Everybody has to listen to us. We make the rules. This is the world now. It's like, why can't that just be your world and this is my world and it's cool? I don't need to have an opinion on you. I don't need to obey your rules. You don't need to obey my rules. Do I say you have to smoke weed? Like, everyone has to smoke weed? No, if you don't want to fucking smoke weed, it's cool. I'm not going to fucking make you smoke weed. If I don't want to hang out with a fucking girl that has a dick, I don't have to hang out with a girl that has a dick. It's free. It's a free country.
So that's
it. I think the big thing about it, too, if you think about it, most of the dudes are already ugly guys. Okay, nobody wants to. But if you're a man, you can't really force your way.
I can't really hear you. Can you get a little closer to your phone or whatever? The mic?
Hold on. It might be my phone. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. It's better now.
Yeah. Okay. No, like I was saying, they kind of got to force it because who wants to? Okay, nobody wanted you as an ugly man.
Yeah,
when you switch to an ugly woman, you know, nobody's really going to want you now. So, of course, you're going to have a campaign in order to – and most of the time now, it's simply you can shame a lot of people, which is something else I don't understand how a motherfucker can just make you so shame that you switch and change your mind. Because, like, if I don't like some shit, I don't care how much you shame me, I still don't like it. And I'm going to tell you,
you
don't
find me attractive, you're a transphobe. No,
yes,
I don't find you attractive because you're a dude.
And it's like the other weird thing to me is how women be into that, you know. And I'm like, y'all don't realize that the language they use is kind of like trying to erase you, who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I say, you don't see them doing that. You don't see them doing that with men because most men ain't gonna be on board with that. They can be like,
dude,
man, shut that shit up.
They've gotten so psycho that, like, they, like actual – they fucking all turned on the bitch who wrote Harry Potter because she was, like – she said something, like, about them not having periods or something, and they got offended. It's like, dude, you're not a woman. You shouldn't be going in the women's fucking bathroom. Like, you –
You
don't have periods. You don't give birth. They want to, like, rechange what we call women. They want, like, women to be called, like – birth givers or something like that, and they want, because they want to be women too. It's like, dude, you're not gonna fucking change science, dude. Like, just because your feelings, you don't have any evidence to back. Like, yeah, you feel like a woman, that's fucking cool. I'll be nice. I'll fucking call you whatever bitch name you want me to call you, whatever. But, like, don't tell me that you're the same as a woman that can have kids, because you can't have kids. Like, I'm sorry that you think that God made a mistake and put you in the wrong body. And whatever the fuck you think. But you can't have a kid. It's not going to happen. Like, fucking, Ali Sadiq, dude, he's a famous comedian from Houston. I saw him in Boston last year. He's fucking hilarious. He went on Joe Rogan and made a comment about how he doesn't think gay people should be allowed to have kids, and Netflix or HBO, whoever had him, had bought his special that he was on Joe Rogan to promote, they threw him off. They were like, we're not fucking with you after that. And what he said was not that bad. I can see how they'd flip out at that, but like, think about it, dude. It's Mother Nature. In Mother Nature, you put a dick in a pussy, a kid pops out. You put a dick in a dick, a kid doesn't pop out. So they don't have kids. So, like, you're just going to give them a kid and put a kid into that butt-fucking environment and have the kid have to go to school and be like, yeah, I have two dads, and they fuck. And, like, all this weird shit. You want them to hang out with people like Nyla Rose? Like, oh, my dad's friends are coming over, and it's a bunch of fucking trannies and shit. Like, they got drag queens reading stories to kids in libraries and shit. It's like, dude, I don't want to go to an elementary school and read stories to kids about, like, getting pussy or anything. Like, what are these fucking trans doing? Like, I think it's a completely reasonable stance that they shouldn't have kids. I can see how it's a little bit controversial.
I'm sorry to like, interrupt, but I just wanted to stick this in before you continue. But if when you think about the transsexual shit, right, they always try to tell you that it's not sexual. But when you even think about them people who they name themselves as performers, it's something sexual. Like, I still, like, if you want to talk to me about your sexuality, the base word is sex. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whether it be that you a man or a woman, or it's like the sexual act. And there's really nothing else about that that you can really get into outside of the, you know, outside, if you start going anything past the exterior, then the only other thing that you got left to talk about is the sex, because you can't talk about the mental aspect of it, because then they don't want to give a motherfucker medicine. Sorry to interrupt, but when I heard you talking about that, a lot of the times they say it's not sexually based, but what is it to it? They don't never really tell you anything like, when you talk about people getting married, they talk about a lot of pros that don't have anything to do with the fact that I'm a man and a woman being together. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to them, it's just always that focus of I'm a man that thinks I'm a woman, and it never really goes past that. You know what I'm saying? They don't never really tell you what's the benefits of that. You know, you got a 45% suicide rate, which they try to blame on other people, but you got all these people with these, you know, these really serious mental, you know, these really serious mental diseases that instead of us getting them help, we patting them on the back end, you know.
Yeah. No, Chapo, shut up. Chapo, come here. Chapo, come. All right, chill. Yeah, no, it's like one of the big things I've learned from growing weed, and that I already kind of knew from, because I've been into like eating organic and vegetarian before and shit like that, is like everything is just science, and what you put in is what you get out. Like, if you work out, you feel better. If you exercise, you feel better, because we're supposed to work. Our bodies are supposed to be moving. The fat fucks who sit at home all day and then whine that they have anxiety and that's why they can't do anything. Your body is giving you anxiety to tell you to get off of your fat ass and go do something.
Seriously.
That's why it's fucking happening. Everything is fucking science. So if you're like, I've definitely had some mental shit before. Everyone knows. And like, when you actually work out and when you're active, that shit goes away. After you go and do a big workout and you crush it and you do all this cardio and you lift these weights and you do all that, all you're thinking about is, man, I need to just rest, watch some TV and eat some food because my body needs to heal up from this. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. When your body's not doing that, you just start thinking about unnecessary shit. Sometimes it's good. You can reach things like you can, you know, have fucking epiphanies, whatever, like brainstorm new things. But I think all that shit really goes better if you're fucking working out. And these people that are trans and they're yelling at everybody, most of them are on hormones or have cut their balls off or fucking sewed their pussy shut and super glued a dildo on top or whatever the fuck they do. And it's just not like their hormones are definitely fucked up. So they're definitely acting weird. And, like, I don't know why nobody talks about that. Like, they're definitely they people always talk about hormone imbalances. I have a mental chemical imbalance in my head, and that's why I'm retarded, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, something's not right in their fucking head. So you should probably try to help them instead of saying, oh, you're five and you feel like a girl, all right, you're a girl now, put on a fucking dress and we're going to chop your dick off when you're 18. It's like, dude, this is fucked up. These people need help. Like, that's what we should be doing, is trying to help them, not like jumping to accommodate the whole world so that we're all living in loony fucking land.
When I watch this, you know, what's his name, Matt Walsh, I think, or something like that. But when I watch him and he talks to that man or that woman, that, okay, it's a man that's supposed to be a woman that's supposed to be a man. They cut chunks out of these people's bodies to make a penis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm like, if you ain't got some kind of mental aspect that's kind of, you know, off to even consider mutilating yourself like that. Because
yeah, dude,
you can't say that you're making yourself look better by cutting chunks out of your body, because it don't grow back and it just leaves you big grotesque ass.
Dude, if you're a man, and you become a woman, you don't have a pussy, you have an open wound. That's what you fucking have. You have an open wound that you need to fucking put something in every night so it doesn't close up. And I don't mean just have sex. I mean they have to sleep with something in it so that their fucking fake pussy does not close up, because it's not a pussy. It's a fucking open wound. And fucking hair grows out of it from the inside, and they got to go in and fucking pluck the hairs out of the inside of their fucking fake pussy. It's fucking disgusting, dude. They have so many problems come from it and everything. It's not fucking natural. Like, to be like, I'm the same as a woman because I fucking mutilated my genitals. No, you're not. You're a fucking psycho is what you are.
The thing I tell people is, hey, I don't say anything about what they do as long as don't nobody put none of it on me. Okay,
exactly.
At the end of the day, that's all on them. You know what I'm saying? I have my opinions that I don't. You know, I don't get into the same shit as them. I would never be around them because we're not the same type of people. I'll never be in them crowds. You know what I'm saying? If that's the way that they feel like it's going to work for them people, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day, can't do nothing but throw your hands up. But it's also so many of them that speaking out about not doing it, but they be suppressing them people. They don't let them say anything. You know what I'm saying? They shy, even though they transsexual people. You know what I'm saying? They'd be like, okay, I got sold this dream. Now I'm here to tell y'all, do not get sold the same dream I got sold. You know what I'm saying? Because for everyone that is probably, that everyone that you would consider successful, it's like 7, 8, or 9 that didn't. And I heard about one person went from a female to a male, had to have 12 different surgeries on their penis before they eventually lost it. You know what I'm saying? So she turned to a man. She got her titty cut off. She got all them. She got some skin grafts out of her arm and her legs. And it didn't even take.
So now
she gets mutilated. And she want to tell people that this is what happened to you. You know what I'm saying? This is what could happen if you go through with this. Now, the doctors, as far as them, you know, when you hear them talk, you automatically know that it's only something, a financial gain for them, okay? Because you can't sit across from me and tell me that you okay mutilating a 13-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Unless you end
up
with some cash. You know what I'm saying? That you coolly giving a 13-year-old what is basically a pill form that sterilize them.
Yeah, the shit they give them is the same shit that they use to castrate prisoners. Like, it's fucked up.
Yeah. So,
and you can't tell me that 13-year-old came to the conclusion on their own and didn't just have some psycho liberal mom who wanted a daughter. You know what I mean?
When I was 13, bro, you know what I'm saying? I was 13 when 13-year-olds were still fucking kids. You know what I'm saying? So my mind was all over the place. The motorcycle was going by.
Oh, good.
But I could have probably easily been convinced that, oh, yeah, you're going to like boys later on. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a kid and people keep talking shit. You know, my mom tell me all the time. She say, look, they can say what they want to. But when I had 3 kids. None of my kids You know what I'm saying? When my kids were born, none of my kids knew anything. You know what I'm saying? She said, everything that you learned and you knew, I had to implant. She said, so what none of y'all waking up in the morning telling me that you thought you was a girl without me telling you that you ain't? And you eventually will be like, oh, okay, I'm a boy, and this is what boys do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. When you're a little kid, when you're a little kid, you think girls are icky. I remember I was little and I used to go to my dad's work. He worked at Bertucci's. I don't even remember the bitch's name, but I just remember there was a couple cute girls that worked there. And I went in, I'd be staring at them, and they'd all be like, oh, Joe has a crush on her. And I'd be like, no, I don't. I don't like girls. Because you're like a little kid. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, no, you don't want to admit that you like them. So it would be very easy to be like, do you want to not like girls? Do you want to just like boys? Yeah. Like, they're not going to know what the fuck to do, and you're going to chop their fucking dick off, and their fucking life's over.
Yeah, well, you know, it just, my thing is, if you're going to make them people a part of the population, you know what I'm saying, and you're going to do these things, and you're going to normalize these things, then it really needs to be a better education system about it and put in place, other than what they do. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, okay.
Yeah.
When you have these arguments with these people, do they ever explain anything to you in a way that you can, when you leave having a discussion with them, you're like, okay, I didn't know that, but I know that now. The reality is, most of the people who argue it, they don't know shit about it themselves.
Yeah, what they end up doing is making up a new word to describe you, which is why you're wrong. They'll make up some new word, some new fucking internet word, and be like, you're this. And you're fucking triggering me, and this is whatever new phobia or fucking bad thing you are, some new fucking word, and that's why you're wrong. And it's like, all right, if you need to invent new words to beat me in this argument, I think you already lost.
If I woke up Tuesday morning and I started walking around this time of bitch telling everybody I identify as a fucking frog, and I started doing shit that frogs do, and including eating flies and shit, you know what the fuck they do to me?
No, yeah, you're going to be in the fucking loony bin. I've been there.
Yeah, they finna give you a shot, and they finna give you them little pills, and they finna stand there and make sure you take them.
Yep.
You just
exactly.
You
I've been
frog,
there.
You just hopped across the goddamn floor and ribbed it and ate the bug out the corner. You know what I'm saying? Because they're safe. You're not supposed to feel like that. Now, that's versus somebody waking up saying, okay, I'm clearly a male, but for some reason my brain is telling me that I ain't supposed to be in my body. You know what I'm saying? It's a weird correlation to me, because the same people can tell you shit like, oh, you don't have a soul. So if you don't have anything like that, then how the fuck do you even feel like you're a woman or something? It's just all that shit weird to me. Because if somebody asks you, they say, dad, what it feel like to be a man? You're going to be like, shit, I don't know. I just know I'm a man.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah, and
so
then,
fucking
one thing I love, dude, is that I know I'm a man, and my girlfriend knows she's a woman, and she acts like a girl, and I act like a man. She doesn't try to be like, no, I'm calling the shots here, equal rights. It's no, she's a woman, she's going to do girly, womanly shit, and I'm going to do manly shit. I'm going to be psycho and scream and want to be in charge, and she's going to take care of the dogs and make food and shit. And everybody can do their fucking thing. And, like, that's what it is. Then you get women that want to be, like, act like they're a fucking man and call the shots, but you're not a shots. And at the end of the day, what you're going to do is, like, if you have a son and you're not, and you don't let the father be a fucking father, and you want to try to be a controlling bitch and be the mother and the father, you're going to end up fucking ruining the kid. You know what I mean? Like, you got to, everyone, the roles are there for a fucking reason. And they want to, this is, like, what they fucking want to do to keep all of us where we are and make us go lower and fucking ruin society. It's just how, like, they fucking gave incentives with welfare to black families back in the day so that the father, you get more money if the father's not in the house. Keep the father out of the house, make the kids weak, let the women be in charge. That's how you have a failed situation. You need the fucking father there. You need the fucking mother there. Everybody needs to know their role.
Because if you think about it, okay, somebody made me realize something. You know, about that, what you saying, too. When they did it to black people, they did it to white people, too, because it's more white people. And then he was like, you got to think about it. Back in the day, it used to be a certain type of white person, right,
mm-hmm.
that they were kind of the enforcer, you know, the ones who was like stringing niggas up, you know, they catch you by yourself with it's 5 or 6 of them, you might as well call it a day. You know what I'm saying? They used to have them kind of white people.
Yeah.
But
like the kid, like the ones who killed Emmett Till and shit like that.
Yeah, but they done basically bred some type of white people out, and they use the same tactic, but they don't talk about it because it's like 2 times more white people on welfare and stuff than it is black people. So
yeah.
In order for them to have it, they had to kick their dudes out too. Just like, I know we get way off. All the stuff kind of connected.
No,
you know, the Mid-Cow movement. It came from white men. And them same white men that they was bred out because of the Mid-Cow, MGT, the MGTOW, men going their own way.
Oh.
It got started by masculine white men who got tired of being strung around and going through all of this shit that we talking about when it comes to women and stuff. So they started doing that because they was losing, you know, that welfare system. They was kicking them out the house for that shit. And then on top of that, divorcing them, taking half of what they own.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it kind of, to me, the people who really got affected are the ones who use it against everybody. They don't even understand that's like a big, that happened to them too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of stuff that they need to talk about. It's the same thing with the transsexual stuff. They need to let the people who say, hey man, they mutilated me and I ain't the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It didn't work out like that. And it's more people that it don't work out for than it is that do. You know what
I'm
saying? It's all about that. If you want to explain us, if you want to have the situation and you want to have the discussion about the situation, you got to have the entire discussion. And most of the time, they don't even give us the tool we need to have the entire discussion. They just take one or two people, like, cracking out. Because the dude, like, you started talking about that made me think about what that dude said. He said they have really created, like, really docile white men.
Yeah.
I think about it, a lot of them are, like, really soft. I ain't going to say they, like, weak, but they not like they used to be where they in your face. Now they a little more covert.
Yeah, dude, like back in the day, you think of like a rich white guy, right? You think of like a powerful
mm-hmm.
guy going around doing whatever he wants. Now you think of a rich white guy, and it's a skinny little nerdy tech bitch who's like, you know, wife probably runs his whole fucking life, and he's just like, happy wife, happy life. I'm going to go to my job, and then she's going to spend all my money, and I'm going to get cucked and jerk off in the corner. That's like what they do now. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, they really like, if you really want to talk about it, because this is why I don't really like mess with white men a lot anymore like I used to, because I really started to like kind of feel for what happened to them, because they really did squeeze a lot of the masculinity out of them, because a lot of our thoughts about masculinity comes from like white dudes.
Yeah.
And we don't have them same, like, it ain't like I'm praising them or nothing, but, you know, I'm 40. So I remember a time where there was always white dudes that was famous that always exuded masculinity, like a lot of Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and all that stuff. They don't even make them like that no more.
Yeah, dude. You talk to, like, any old, like, war vet, like, old, like, real rugged white guy. I was just talking to this old Portuguese war vet at the gas station, and he just started telling me how much he fucking loves Sylvester Stallone and how he's a real man and how he told the state of California, like, they given him some ban on his water, and he was like, if you don't let me use water, I'm moving. He was like, he's a fucking real man. I was like, yeah, that's they fucking love him, dude.
You know, they talk about their chads and stuff, but it's still not the same type of. And you know, it's like I said, it ain't no. I'm not knocking them guys or nothing, and I'm not saying like they weak or they worse than anybody else. But at one time, they did have a real stranglehold on everything, and they kind of bred that out of. You know what I'm saying? And then 100%. That's why you started seeing. And then, like I admit, when they did that, that's when a lot of the problems that we have now. Started to to come in, because for one, they was the one who was in charge, so they all had the power to say, hell no, we're not doing that. And they had the men who were saying, nah, y'all not doing that. You know what I'm saying? And we're not going to let y'all do that, because that's not what we do. You know what I'm saying? But when those guys are pretty much aged out, they all frail and old. They 90. You ain't going to listen to them. Like, sit your old ass down before I sit you down.
Yeah.
You know? And then the other ones, they don't really give a fuck, they get money.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
The only way they gonna resort to anything is if you start messing with their money.
Exactly.
And
it's still not like, they're still not like masculine men. They just fucking have money. Like, they're still just pussy with money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And if you run into masculine white men, their own peers almost instantly try to beat them down into submission. Almost quick, like they talk about it with black dudes, but when you really think about it, if a white dude even try to be any kind of he-man masculine, they'll beat him down. That's why they don't do it. Or if the ones that are like that, they just kind of brooding in the background, and they just waiting for something. And, you know, I won't be surprised if you don't get a group of them that get together and pop some shit off here and then make
murders,
because, you know, they out there. But they just—it's a small number of them, and they feel a certain type of way.
Yeah,
you know,
dude. A lot of those white guys fucking shooting places up. If their masculinity wasn't stripped from them, I don't think they would be doing that, because they would be praised for being a man. You know what I mean? And they wouldn't be forced into this pigeonhole where they're like, the only way I can fucking be recognized is if I go shoot this fucking place up. You know what I mean? It's like, because they're not praised for being a man. I think like what a lot of this trans shit is, I think, is that people are just inherently lazy, like black, white, Spanish, Indian, like maybe not Indians and Asians, but most people are fucking just inherently fucking lazy. I know I am. And it's like, you can either be praised by doing some shit that's really hard and you're going to work for, or that you can fucking be tempted by the fucking lazy devil, the lazy gay devil Satan, and be like, I could work really hard for praise. Or I could just say I'm a girl and I'm going to get way more praise than if I worked really hard and achieved something. I can just say I feel like a girl and I'm going to all of a sudden have all these fucking people praising me, and everyone's going to be telling me how brave and fucking awesome I am just for this. And I don't think a lot of it is even like intentional. It's like subconscious. It could be these young kids that see how much praise and how brave they are, how brave everyone's saying their classmate is because they're gay, and they're like, I want to be brave and a hero also. I'm a girl too.
I wouldn't doubt that some of it at all, because just anything, you know, way before I even met y'all, when I was doing my original podcast, when this stuff was just really starting to like really take off, like this 10, 12 years ago, I was saying that I think a lot of it is coming from the type of praise and admiration that come from it, because I really wonder how many people who identify as that really practice that.
Yeah, they turn Bruce Jenner into a fucking superhero. You know what I mean? Because he says he's Caitlyn now. He's all of a sudden he's a fucking superhero.
Well, the other thing, you don't find a lot of them with partners. You find a lot of the lesbians and the gays with partners, but then there's a lot of them that don't have partners.
Mm-hmm. And there's less and less of them because they're all becoming trans now. Like, if you talk to actual gays and actual lesbians, they're not really fans of all this trans shit, and they think it's kind of like taking over their shit. And there's no more gays or lesbians. And they're like, I've heard fucking gay dudes be like, yo, I'm gay. I like dick. If you say you're a man but you have a pussy, that's not what I'm looking for. They're the same fucking way. You know what I mean? Like, I want pussy.
I mean,
if you tell me you're a girl but you have a dick, that doesn't do it for me. I'm not trying to suck a dick or get fucked by a dude. Fuck a dude. I'm trying to stick my dick in a pussy or in a girl's mouth or her hand, if that's all
think,
she's trying to do. But, yeah.
If a dude, he's gay, then a dude in a dress isn't going to do it for him, because it's not a dude. You know, if you say he's like a man, then he don't want to motherfucker in a dress either, and that's why you don't
exactly.
See that. You know,
exactly.
They're like, okay, I just said I don't like women. You know what I'm saying? So why would you come to present yourself to me as a woman? I would think that would be an issue.
Yeah. You know what I'm but like
dude,
I said, that's their little world. That's their
yeah,
little world.
They're all...
So the reason why we can't understand it is because we not nowhere near it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that's
we don't
what I was
really
saying.
Have it this
if there was no internet, I wouldn't know about these people because I don't go to fucking gay clubs. I don't hang out with gay people. I hang out in my town with my friends, and just happens none of my friends are like that. Like, I'm fucking Arab. I fit in with, like, everywhere. I mean, I think
yeah.
so. Like, most people. Like, I'm Arab. I don't really know any other Arabs. I'm not really friends with any other Arabs. There aren't really many around here. I'm friends with Spanish people, white people, and black people. And, like, I fit in mm-hmm. with all of them. I just don't happen to know any trans. I know, like, one trans person on Instagram that had me custom laser some shit for them. And they're cool. I'm going to have them print some hats for me and shit. I don't have anything against them. They don't push their agenda on me. I don't follow them on Instagram because all they post is gay shit, and it kept popping up in my feed, and I was like, I don't want to look at pictures of you in a dress all day, dude, but I'll do business with you, but I don't want to look at pictures of you in a dress on my timeline all day. Like, sorry.
Like, yeah, yeah. That's not in my wheelhouse, buddy.
Yeah,
not in my
I'm good on that. Like, nothing against you. I don't discriminate, but I just don't want to look at that. It's fucking, it's just not what I want to look at. I'm sorry.
Most men feel the same way, and I think where they're making a mistake is where men are where straight men are just like flat out saying no, and you know most men when they say no, they don't really feel like they need to give an explanation, especially for something like that. Or if I tell you I'm not into that, you know what I'm saying? That's you know for most people
they're
going to want to
trick you. They're going to want to trick you into being into that. What they all are is sexual deviant tricksters. That's what they fucking are, dude. I haven't been on a dating app in a couple of years. I've been in a relationship for a few years. I have friends that are on dating apps, and I used to be on them. And this is 100% true. Like, I don't know why time I've been on a dating app, I've selected, I am a male interested in women. And I still have all these fucking trannies that will pop up on Tinder, OkCupid, everywhere. And it's like, I put man interested in woman. I didn't put men interested in trans or men. So why are you popping up on here? It's because you're going in there and putting that you're a girl. So a bunch of straight dudes swipe through you, and then you can try to trick one of them into getting a blowjob from a tranny. That's what you're fucking trying to do, and that's not nice. You're a fucking sexual deviant trickster. That's what it fucking is. They're not honest people. I grew up raised with honesty. I don't lie. Like, they're just sexual deviant tricksters, which is fine. Go hang out with other sexual deviant tricksters. Don't try to trick me.
That's why I don't get on them no more. I don't even touch them for that reason. I was on one a couple of years back, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe it might be the last time that I thought about doing it. But like you said, for everyone... one woman, because you know you have to read, and they, you know, I started looking for people who say they had kids, you know what I'm saying? Because if you don't, you know, if they don't have kids on those things, more than likely they are boy girls, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
That's just, you know, that's just what I see it as being, because, and it's so weird if they really in their mind think that they have a chance to, you know, snag them a straight guy, and he won't be with them because they are portraying a woman. Because I know what made me leave. I was talking to one time and didn't know that's what they was, and then they finally came out and said, because none of their pictures said it. Like, they didn't look like it by their picture. And I was like, see, this is, I don't want to be on this kind of stuff because, like, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I had one of them once posing as a girl, and they messaged me and asked, they were like, I'm trans, but can I just suck your dick? And I was like, no, you can't. You're a fucking dude. I'm not interested in you. They're like, please. I was like, no, you're not fucking sucking my dick. Another time, I used to have a friend that worked overnights at a hotel, and there were two fucking trannies. It was a Red Roof Inn in fucking Woburn, and there was a black trans guy. His real man name was Kieran Green, and on his ID it was a fucking man, and he was dressed as a woman at the hotel trying to get dudes to fuck him for money, and came up to me and asked me to sit on my lap, and I said, you can just have the chair, and I left. I'm not... that's just what they fucking do, dude. It's fucking... Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. It's fine. Just fucking, like, stay in your world. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah, like, dude, I, at the end of the day, like, they're going to try to make you look like, when you say the truth and when you act like a man, they try to just label you. They try to say you're a chauvinist, you fucking hate women, you're fucking this, you're that. And it's like, no, I'm not. I'm just using logic and you're all in fucking crazy land. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, dude. I forget what the point I was just about to fucking, yeah. Like, I know I live in a shit area. I live in Stoughton. It's like not, it's not like a horrible town, but it's not, I'm not going to find any rich sluts around here. So all the girlfriends, for the most part, that I've had, I fucking, like, while I've been living here, I always get a dating app. I pay for the premium, and I set it to girls 18 to 22 at colleges, and I fucking swipe through all the colleges. I set it to fucking Wells College. It's all girls. I set it to fucking Boston College. I set it to fucking Harvard. I set it to all the colleges in Boston because I know from experience when I swipe in my area, that's exactly what I'm going to get is fucking single moms and trannies, and I'm not interested in either one. So I go there and I swipe on college girls, and I don't know anybody. I'm not going to see any girl I know taking a screenshot of my Tinder because I'm not looking for any of those old sluts. I'm just looking for hot girls age 18 to 22 in college that want to fuck. And they're probably not going to be good for a relationship because I can tell you exactly what happens with these 18 to 22-year-old college sluts when you bang them. If you try to do a relationship with them, this is how it's going to go. You're going to fuck them, and it's going to be great. It's going to be some of the best pussy ever. And then when it's time for them to almost time for them to graduate or maybe halfway through college, whatever, they are still thinking that they are going to change the world. They are still thinking that the dream that they've been sold is true and that they are going to graduate and that they are going to be some fucking famous whatever and want to fucking change the world. And then they'll leave you. And then they will graduate college and realize they have to work a shit job to pay off their insane college fucking loans for a degree in fucking some stupid shit, women's studies, whatever the fuck they're doing. And they can't get a job in that, so they have to work a shit job and pay off their student loan. And then they're going to want to come back because they realize you have more money and you're the fucking man and can fuck the shit out of them, and they were dumb. And then you say, I'm sorry, sweetheart, continue your fucking minimum wage job. I'm going to go find bitches that are at the college that you went to. That's exactly how it fucking goes. We got another caller. I think I know who it is. I forget their fucking theme music. Let me find something. What's some fucking theme music I can use? This will fucking work. Oh, this isn't even a theme song. It's not a theme song. What's a fucking theme song I can do?
Come on, yeah.
Click on anything. There's a bunch of different ones.
It's about to go down, ladies and gentlemen. I smell a debate starting. What's popping, Ernesto?
These niggas definitely don't want none, cud. You already know. What's the word? Forgot y'all niggas do this.
Bro, me and Obi and Dylan talking about Vince McMahon, talking about trans, talking
fuck
about society,
guy.
Talking about
fuck
old people.
Fuck that old guy.
Dude,
no,
you
so
gotta admit,
did
dude,
that
we listened, we sat in a car for hours, Ernesto, and listened to stories about him getting his dick sucked at strip clubs while he eats steak, and you're surprised or think something's off, like we didn't know this? You know what I mean?
Listen, I know the stories we heard, and again, not surprised, but at the same time, fuck that old man.
I feel you, dude. I just didn't want it to happen like this, like... You know that I've definitely bitched in the past about how things aren't going to change until he's gone and he ruins everything, ruins gimmicks, does all this stupid shit.
Yep.
And if he were to just say, look, I'm fucking 80 years old, I'm not the most in touch, it's time to step down and let my family run things, that would be beautiful. And I guess it might be his fault for not leaving when he should have left, is what the conclusion we were kind of coming to with a lot of politicians, with him, with all these old people. But I just fucking hate seeing it happen this way. I feel like it's a fucking win for, like, the Me Too movement, and they took down Vince McMahon. I can't fucking stand it.
No, okay, so I'm going to tell you right now, this isn't a win for the Me Too movement. You know who this is a win for? The SEC.
What's that? They control
the
what's on
the securities, TV? The Securities and Exchange Commission. They control the stock market and, like, blue-collar crimes.
Oh.
So him being removed has a lot more to do with the amount of non-disclosure agreements that were found, number one, and number two, him using company funds to fund them, and number three, him giving these broads, like, ridiculous raises because they were sucking his dick. This wasn't like these chicks complaining that he did something wrong. How it all got outed was that there was one whistleblower who said that this happened, you know, just giving a story. And then once the board of directors caught wind of it, they decided to do an investigation and found way more. And yeah, he was literally posed with, all right, bro, you got two options. You either retire and go off into the fucking sunset, or you stay here. The Wall Street Journal fucking blows a hole into your entire existence, and then our stock price drops from $65 a share to $5 a share.
Yeah,
it had nothing
not
to do with the Me Too movement.
Yeah, that's not so. It is kind of like a business thing at the end of the day.
That's what it comes down to. It was a business thing because
he was essentially getting high off his own supply by using company money for blowjobs.
Yes, but it also takes it a step further when he's giving these women 100% raises.
I mean, they earned it, didn't they?
Everyone, like, the main – I mean, regardless of how they earned it, giving them head, they didn't earn it in the business sense, and that's what it comes down to. Him, like, the minute – if WWE wasn't a public company, this wouldn't really be anything important.
Yeah, so he didn't have a controlling stake in the company anymore, right?
He does. He is still the majority shareholder.
Huh. Then why don't you just fire everyone and keep getting head? That's what I do.
Because he can't. Because he can't. Just because you own a certain number of shares of stock doesn't mean that you can supersede the board of directors. That's why public companies are so wanted.
He was giving these bitches supersede right in their fucking mouth.
Some chick, the first chick was getting paid $100K a year to start. And then the second, by the time like the next year rolled around, he bumped her up to $200K.
So did these girls come forward, or it was like just a financial discovery?
It was a financial discovery. It was like some fucking bean counter was going through shit and was like, wait, what's this? And then it came out that there's a lot more than just that one NDA.
One was from a former talent that he
ended up demoting. That the internet basically outed as Christy Hemme.
I don't even know who that is.
Skinny redhead posed for Playboy. She's was the ring announcer for Impact for a while. She was like one of the first Diva Search winner things that they did.
I try to Google Christy Hemme. All I'm getting is Chris Hemsworth. There it is.
Hey, yo, I got to be up like 5, man. I'm going to turn in, man.
All right, bro. Yo, it was nice having you, Obi. We got to do another one of these soon, dude. We've been talking about this for months. We finally got the ball rolling. We can't drop it now. Let's fucking keep all these right, shits pumping.
All right, man.
Bro. Have a good night, man.
But yeah, it definitely wasn't a Me Too thing. It was a him being an idiot thing.
That definitely clarifies it for me. I just kind of assumed these whores weren't keeping their mouths shut and tried to take them down.
I'll tell you what didn't help. It didn't look good to the board of directors with him going out on TV every week, trying to put his face out there being like, fuck this. This ain't shit.
Did you see the merch they made for him on WWE Shop?
No.
Dude, they have shirts. They really have like hang on, WWE Shop. Let me read you these shirts. They got
outsourcing all of their merchandise.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're no longer making it in-house. It gets outsourced.
So they have 3 Vince McMahon shirts on WWEshop.com, which I'm probably going to buy all of them. It's actually shop.wwe.com. They have one that says Billion Dollar Asshole and has a billion-dollar bill with Vince McMahon's face on it. They have one that says has Vince McMahon flexing on it, and it says I've never been cool. I don't give a shit about that. And then they have one with Vince McMahon with devil horns, and it says, if people think I'm an asshole, congratulations, I am.
I mean, sure, that's, again, tone deaf, but cool.
Yeah, they're still selling them. They're not on sale either. They're like full $28 each.
Yeah, because people will buy it because you have a whole.
I like to call them
Vincels. the Vincels will do anything to defend that man until they fucking blew in the face.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I haven't been watching any wrestling for months. I haven't watched any WWE,
I haven't watched WWE in almost a year now. Like,
but
I'll catch a random NXT clip. I do because whatever your beef is, like, that shit is done, gone, and settled, bro. Like, you need to just fucking pass it by and watch some fucking wrestling, bro.
No, they're like, I go to death matches now. I'm going to another one on the 27th.
They have more death matches. They have a bunch of death. Like, I know you got beef because of the whole Nyla thing, but bro.
I'm not supporting them. They tried to make an example out of me at their first event. I was being a nice fan. I was trying to be supportive. I went to Las Vegas to be supportive.
You were being a transphobic human in the middle of a fucking
fan. I was being an
attitude in a very woke environment.
I was being the attitude. Dude, just explain this to me. How I go to All in Chicago and Joey Ryan comes out and everyone's wearing dick suits yelling rest in penis. I'm like, this is the vibe here. This is great. And then I go to the next one and I get banned for laughing at someone that has a penis.
And
I thought that's what we do at
Disneyland. And now look
at
Joey Ryan, who can't even hold a job
at Disneyland.
Anywhere.
He got fired from Disneyland.
Yeah.
They fucking somebody put
but
a picture
like,
of him
real
online
talk.
And we're
like AEW has completely changed their whole perception.
Yeah. Do you think at the beginning it was like, all right, they don't say it, but we all know WWE is a right-wing company, so we're going to be a left-wing company. Do you think that was their marketing plan? Because I think that's what the deal was. I think they were like, we have all these fucking liberals online, and we're going to get them because we know that.
I don't think it was the marketing plan. I think it was just, again, that dude's really inclusive. You don't give a fuck. And that's just how he gets down. Yeah, because you were fucking saying shit, but I guarantee you go buy a ticket, you'll be fine now.
I probably would. I might have to. Everybody's trying to get me to go, but then everyone takes it too far. Like, my friends want to have a whole section dressed as Dabbing Aladdin. And I'm like, then they're going to kick me out. Like,
well, that's because, unfortunately, you kind of, like, paired yourself with that, like, right-wing mentality, so people think that, like, you actually, like, ride that. So,
it's been 3 years, and I'm still contacted every single day by somebody about it, and I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I'm still contacted all the time about it, at least once a week, usually daily, with somebody. Because so many people started following me because of that, and that's all they want from me. I was saying a couple episodes ago, like, where am I supposed to go creatively when all I have is a mob of people that want to see me bash trannies? Like, there's not a whole lot of places I can go with that. So, like, I'm trying to reinvent myself a little bit, but that shit's never going to go away. Someone in Texas hit me up with an elaborate plan the other day, sent me information to become a wrestler and wanted me to – no, sent me information to become a referee and really wants me to go become a referee and work my way up the ranks as a wrestling referee. Also, I can eventually ref a Nyla Rose match. This is what these people want me to do.
That's retarded.
Yeah.
No offense, bro, and I hope all these people listening, you're a bunch of bottom dwellers. Get a fucking life.
They're not. They just want a good time. I don't want to scare away any of these people. I'm very grateful that they think I'm funny and following
me. You can have a good time without being a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's just kind of like the Chappelle effect. Like, I need to go hide in Africa for a bit or something and then start with a fresh page, which I kind of already have done the last year. So I'm still working. I'm really trying. I'm not really fucking trolling anybody. I'm not really.
I don't know. You're
anything.
Still buying booth packs, so I don't want to hear it.
That's a different story. But I'm just fucking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just fucking trying to, like, do my thing and not, like, the one worry that I do have, honestly, that always creeps up on me is that I'm never going to have as much fun in my life again as I did that weekend in Las Vegas. That was seriously the most fun I've ever had in my life, and I worry that I'm never going to reach that level of
serotonin. You're still young. You're still young. Don't try to set your bar that low.
I know. But it's like, if I do reach that level again, I don't know how I'm going to get there. Is there going to have to be another victim? Am I going to have a new target? And, like, I didn't choose these targets. These targets chose me, so I guess it's always open. But I was a little bit aggressive in looking for beefs in the past. Anybody who even did something wrong, I was like, boom, I have a new target. Let's fucking make a Facebook group and invite all my troll friends and fucking get them. So it's like Nyla Rose earned that too, because they did try to fucking dox me and all this shit after it was over, which is what kept the fucking flame going. So like,
no, and I get that as well, but that's you basing an entire promotion off of one human.
Yeah, well, it was the first impression. First impressions are important.
The first impression you got was at All In, and you loved that show.
Yeah, that's true. That was fucking great. I got to see fucking
that
Pentagon
was your first,
versus
that
Kenny
was,
Omega.
That was your first impression.
Yeah,
but like
that was
you've
cool.
done missed all the like. Forbidden, you missed the whole Forbidden Door pay-per-view, which was one of the best shows of the last 10 years, period.
What was behind the door? A fucking glory hole with Nyla Rose's dick?
No, it was you had basically AEW versus New Japan.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I was gonna
100% start watching if Enzo went there. I was like, that's what will draw me. If Enzo's there, I can't not watch. I'll settle
well,
my
beats
for Enzo.
Well, they had Cass on one episode.
Yeah, they got squashed.
He didn't get squashed, but he didn't. Again, it was for a storyline purpose. It was for the Wardlow thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's one of the things I like about AEW the most is that they do that shit.
Yeah.
Like you'll have
the only person,
you had the whole Bullet Club pull up.
Yeah, dude.
Whole Bullet Club pulled up.
That's pretty cool. I will say that I think he's like eight. My like 8-year old nephew. He fucking loves AEW, and every time I go over there to see my cousin, his son runs out and is like, and just start, I ask him if he watches like wrestling. Dude, this fucking 8-year-old last week said to me, WWE isn't wrestling, it's sports entertainment. I only watch wrestling. I only watch AEW. He's like, wow.
I like that kid already. I like that kid already. I like that kid already. I have that argument at least once a week.
Dude, he shits on me. It's so funny. I can't say anything.
That being said, you want to know who should probably be the most fearful of Vince McMahon retiring?
Who?
It is Tony Khan.
Yeah, dude. That's what. Because, dude,
half,
like, you
because
can't lie.
Half, well, it's not that. Think about it. The majority of his roster right now left WWE because of Vince McMahon.
Facts. That is true.
And how many of them were people that Triple H went out and actually hired and brought them in? That goes, that's Samoa Joe, that's Cesaro, Ambrose even. Omasi,
the fucking,
Keith Lee, Swerve.
The Revival.
Well, FTR ain't going back. FTR, they even said that, like, they posted on Twitter, they were like... Because Road Dogg said some shit, and Dax Harwood came out and was like, bro, we know what you're trying to do. You boys in charge. Shut up. Have a nice day.
That's hilarious.
Like, I don't think they have any interest in going back. But other performers definitely will.
Yeah. The fucking, the whole discussion that we were having tonight, it started because Dylan and I were playing Xbox with Obi, and Obi said he wanted to talk about on the show how old people run everything and won't give it up, and that's why nothing can change and why like everything seems so stuck and there's no innovation. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about old people and white people who have been in the country since the beginning. I was saying the country's like a fucking shopping mall, and these people have been here since the very start of it, set up shop, and it hasn't stopped. Their families keep growing it. So if you're going to try to come in now and start a business – you're fine until you start doing too good and taking away from them, and they're going to crush you, and you can't compete with them because they have so much money. And I was saying how with all these old people in charge, it's got to be stopping innovation and shit like that, and it ties right into Vince McMahon. And I think the level of innovation you're going to see in WWE now might be unprecedented. We're going to see a lot of fucking shit change.
Well, they already went back to a TV-14 format.
Yep.
That's a step. They don't anticipate it being a big difference, but it's big enough.
Do you think Chris Benoit would really push them to the PG era?
What do you mean?
I was reading something online about how the whole PG era shit started after Chris Benoit killed his whole family, and they got so much fucking right after the Chris Benoit
not,
shit.
It was John Cena.
Blood.
No, it was John Cena that forced it.
Oh. Why?
There's actually like a whole, thing because he wanted, again, he was doing a lot of work with Make-A-Wish, and he didn't think that he got Vince to believe it, that a TV-14 product would be good for that organization.
So Cancer Kids.
That's what I've always heard.
Yeah, Cena did it because he wanted it to be more family friendly. He's like, if this is what I'm going to do and this is what we're going for, we got to stop with this like bra and panty shit and we got to be more professional about it and not, not as violent.
It makes sense. Yeah. I also read that Nancy Benoit's sister claimed that on the autopsy, they said that Chris Benoit most likely would have died within 10 months because his heart was 3 times the size of a normal human heart from steroids, and he was going to blow up at any moment.
Well, that,
and I started thinking
the love he had.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was thinking maybe, like, after Eddie died, he started thinking, like, well, I've been taking the same shit that's going to happen to me any day. I don't know. But, yeah. It's a fucking, it's definitely an interesting time. I definitely want to watch WWE now that it's fucking TV-14. They have not addressed Vince on TV at all, have they?
They
I don't
did
believe
just
they
to say thank you. That was it.
Yeah, it's just some fucking interesting shit, man. I really have been out of the fucking loop. I kind of want to get back into it, kind of don't. But the people definitely want to hear me talk about wrestling. I wrote that
whole
bio.
Well, I can tell you right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see any meaningful change for at least the next 6 months. To keep it a whole biscuit.
Why is that? Because it's all planned out already?
It's not even that. They can always change it. I mean, the motherfucker was ripping up scripts every fucking week anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take time to get new creative off the ground. It's going to take time to let storylines develop. I don't imagine them doing, you know, the whole Vince McMahon pick a terrible gimmick and send it on its way. I think
right.
It's going to have a much different vibe and perspective.
What is Triple H's role now?
He is the executive vice president of talent relations. That's what his job was before he had the heart. That was what his job was before he had like the heart attack last year.
Triple H?
Yeah, he had a heart attack last year. He retired at Mania this past year. He came out, opened the show, put his boots in the middle of the ring, was like, "Yeah, I'm done."
Yeah, I think I saw that. I don't know. I'm fucking retarded.
Yeah, he had a heart attack and took some time away. And then that's when they took NXT and put it. You want to talk about trannies? they literally transitioned NXT from ill to yuck. NXT is so trash, bro. It is absolutely garbage.
I definitely believe it.
The only reason I will catch even a clip is because. So remember when I lived in Milford, my neighbor, I was like, yeah, he wrestles for Evolve or whatever. He's on NXT, and he's, like, currently the UK tag team champion. Well, half of them. So I'll watch his shit just because I know the homie.
Yeah, yeah, I remember telling me about that guy.
But other than that, like, I can't be bothered. Like, they really try to rocket strap, like, the Steiner boy, and that boy's got as much charisma as a dirty mop.
Mm-hmm. What, is it Scott Steiner's old partner?
No, Bron Breakker is Scott Steiner's nephew.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Rick Steiner's son. He looks like a very generic creator wrestler from No Mercy, bro.
Bron Breakker.
Yep. Go ahead, I'll wait.
Oh, yeah. He fucking looks like the guy from the guy who plays Punisher almost. The guy from fucking Wolf of Wall Street who sells fucking pills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
He's very generic. And I get their whole point of NXT was to go younger and try to create younger stars. But with that, you have a lot of botches. Like, a lot of the matches are trash. A lot of the gimmicks are fucking terrible. So they need to basically revamp their entire roster and repackage it and figure out the direction they're going to go in.
It's crazy this guy who's in charge with Stephanie, Nick Khan, has the same last name as Tony Khan. You'd think that they fucking bought WWE if you just look
at
the names.
No, what's funny is I'm almost positive that dude came in there with the plan of taking over.
Nick Khan?
Yes.
Who is he?
Apparently, give you some backstory. He's just been like one of those executives, and he used to be a talent agent. Like, he was Ariel Helwani's talent agent. He grew up in Hawaii with The Rock. His sister is the executive co-producer of Young Rock.
Oh.
So
So, like, yeah. Yeah, DJ was like,
yeah,
go in there and take over.
You're not going to get anywhere without connections and money. That's how it happens. You're not going to
–
whoever's listening to this right now, I can guarantee you're not going to be in charge of WWE because you're not fucking rich and didn't grow up with The Rock. So, it's just how it happens.
But yeah, that so that's where he came from. And he, you know, his father used to work for, like, The Rock's grandmother that used to be a promoter in Hawaii.
Wow.
So, like, there's a lot – like, him and The Rock literally grew up together.
Wow.
Yeah. So, there's some backstory there. I think that dude came in with the sole intention on taking that bitch over. And when he got power, he's like, all right, bet. Because within 2 years, he went from chief financial officer to co-CEO.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, wow, do you think Vince would ever put someone higher up than his own blood? I mean, he's not in charge, I guess, right?
Vince is not in charge. Those votes were made by the board of directors, and he wasn't allowed to take part in the vote.
Wow.
Because when you go public, there's contingencies for shit like this, what he did. Him retiring was him saving face because he was going to be forced out.
Yeah.
Because there's been very specific language that he could be removed if anything that he did negatively impacted the image or the bottom line of the company.
Yeah, and that definitely does.
He crossed that bridge. So at 79 years old, it's much easier to be like, you know what? I retire. I'm good here.
Yeah.
Because within the next 2 weeks, the Wall Street Journal is going to drop a bombshell of a fucking article on his dude.
They're still going to drop it?
Of course they are.
Oh, my God. That's bad.
Of course they are. And this was the move to be like, look, bro, you need to resign now. We'll call it a retirement. You ride off into the sunset. You just don't come back. You don't pay attention. You don't have nothing to do with the product at all. So that way, when this thing blows up, we can already say, yes, we're aware. That's, you know, sorry, you know, that was in the past. He's moved on, et cetera.
Yeah.
Because there's currently, I think last I checked, 13 different law firms that are running investigations into this whole situation to see if they defrauded shareholders, which in all technicality he did.
Yeah, he definitely did. You know what's funny is when I was in the jail cell.
So that's why when you were saying it was like a Me Too thing, I'm like, nah.
Yeah,
nah, this is a financial crime thing.
I really didn't understand it. I really didn't understand it. It makes more sense now, and I'm not as upset about it. But when I was in the jail cell before they took me to the loony bin with the cops, and they were like trying to see what was up with me, I told them that Vince McMahon killed Brody Lee. You guys want some info? I got it for you. Vince McMahon killed Brody Lee. Trying to get some info out of me. That's what I got for you. And I still kind of think he did, honestly. I don't know. It was just weird.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Jesus guy.
Huh?
It's a Jesus guy.
Dude, you can't tell me Vince McMahon's a fucking billionaire and he has a huge ego. And this guy was going on TV every week making fun of Vince McMahon. And then all of a sudden his lungs.
Well, he also died
working.
Of some really rare form of like lung cancer, though.
That's what I'm saying. Is Vince
That's
McMahon
all,
probably
yeah.
gave him it. Vince McMahon was probably like,
oh,
yo, we're going to give him this, and we're going to give him
you know,
this, and it's going to look like COVID.
It's shit like this that has people 20 years later thinking Kevin Sullivan killed Chris Benoit.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's good.
All I know is Daniel Bryan is Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit never died. It's Daniel Bryan.
I mean, he's going there. I mean, he just got cleared from his most recent concussion like 2 months ago, and now he's supposed to be in the ring on Wednesday. So we'll see how that goes.
You see the meme? You see the meme I threw on Joe's timeline like you know, a couple days back on Facebook? It was like comparing Daniel Bryan to Chris Benoit, and they had a
it
bunch
of
yeah.
Crazy.
You know what? I didn't see your post, but I have seen that.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Meme.
I really
yeah.
didn't realize it. They both technical wrestlers, similar moveset, including diving headbutt and crossface, both held the world title less than a day. Chris Benoit, WCW, Daniel Bryan, WWE, married a wrestler,
uh-huh.
lost title to Orton at SummerSlam, made his debut in a group, Radicals and Nexus.
Randy Orton didn't make his no, sorry, Daniel Bryan didn't make his debut in Nexus. He was already on NXT at that point.
It says fought in his tag title match at WrestleMania 19, teamed with War Machine Rhino. And then Daniel Bryan was tagged with Big Red Machine Kane. They both won the world. Chris Benoit won the world title in the main event of WrestleMania 20 in a triple threat match by Crossface. Daniel Bryan won the world championship in the main event at WrestleMania 30 in a triple threat match with a Crossface.
It wasn't a Crossface. It was a LaBelle Lock.
Two very different things. Yeah.
Say by submission.
Both of his opponents were in a faction, DX and Evolution. Both of them fought Kane in a pay-per-view later, and they both fought in the ladder match, one at WrestleMania 21, one at WrestleMania 31. I mean, I'm sure you could do this with, like, any wrestler.
Everybody.
Like, they both fought on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, God, yeah.
They were both on here. Like, you could stretch. Just the fact he has a crossface and a diving headbutt is really what's tying the whole thing
together.
The
only difference is I'm almost positive Daniel Bryan smokes weed, so his CTE is probably not as bad.
True. That's definitely good.
He's a fucking hippie. He's a fucking vegan hippie.
At this point, I'm thinking Daniel Bryan's had more concussions than Chris Benoit, though.
I mean,
it's possible, but at the same time, he's probably getting concussed every time, like, his wife is on top of him. So, like,
it's true.
And I think just nowadays, they're just, like, more aware of shit. Like, Daniel Bryan couldn't wrestle for how long because he wasn't medically cleared. If that was Chris Benoit, he would have still been doing diving headbutts.
He wasn't medically cleared by a WWE doctor.
The whole reason he left and didn't re-sign his contract is because he had been cleared for 5 years by his own doctors. And Vince was like, nah, I ain't taking that risk. Sorry, not doing it. I'm going to put you in these dumbass roles. And then finally he let him, and it was like they weren't letting him actually perform. And he's like, all right, well, I'm out.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man. Interesting times in the fuck wrestling world. It's dope how this whole part.
I didn't really think about it. It's interesting, but like I said, I'm still skeptical on the amount of change that's going to happen relatively soon. Like I said, you have a lot of work to do to fix what that old man continued to fuck up for the last day.
What can you do, though? I mean, when I think about
what can you do? I can tell you right now what you can do.
All I want is blood. So, I mean, unless you want to make, like, if you want to make an ECW, that's all I really want. But, I mean, I know you got to please a lot of people. Like, wrestling,
I feel like the wrestling community is
so diverse compared to any other sport.
It's not as diverse as you think. It's very, you have two rules of thought. Yeah, you have two rules of thought, and most of those rules of thought are influenced by former wrestling personalities who have podcasts. You have the Cult of Cornette, who thinks everything that AEW does is like an outlaw mud show. And then you have everybody else who listens to their random podcasters thinking that AEW is the shit because it's more wrestling than sports entertainment.
I just want what AEW does, but I also want the Attitude Era. You know what I mean? I just want the
You'll never get the Attitude Era again simply because of the society in which we live in.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What I want is, and I don't think this is possible, but
do you know why the Attitude
Era
was successful?
Why?
Do you know why? Because when he was losing to WCW, and he knew he needed a change, and he talked to Vince Russo, and he literally told him, he's like, I want Jerry Springer, but in wrestling. He literally would copy things from the Jerry Springer show. It worked because that was the time that we were in. A lot of the shit that went down in the Attitude Era ain't going to fly now. You're not going to be able to do fucking, you know, hog pen matches with bras and pudding matches and bra and panties matches, shit like that.
The cultural stereotypes need to
go away. Like, you don't need any of that dumb shit.
That's cool, but what I want is more household names like The Rock, Stone Cold, fucking Undertaker. Everybody in the 90s.
And do you know why you stopped getting those?
Because of those names. Yeah, exactly.
I've said this before on this podcast several times, and I'll say it again.
Vince McMahon never wanted to have another superstar that was bigger than his company like he did with The Rock. Brock Lesnar was the closest, but he knew once Brock got his ass whooped in MMA after fucking the diverticulitis, that that was Brock's only meal ticket, and he could bring him back and make some money off him that way.
Yep.
Other than that, there will never be, I mean, maybe now, you won't have that those stars that are larger than the company because they don't want it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at,
it would be
real
totally
talk, look at what AEW did with Cody. Perfect example. Look what AEW did with Cody. They let him go out and have, like, a couple different shows, his reality show, his game show, cool. When it came time for his contract to renew, he wanted a bag. They didn't give him a bag. And fucking Vince was like, hey, guess what? I'm going to give you this bag.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
come and
it's
just
like
be you.
It's like the same thing as
Cody
any other sport.
Cody was bigger than AEW.
Yeah, it's like the same as any other sport. You draft a fresh young talent out of college. They get a rookie contract. They ball out for a couple years, and then they want a huge bag, and the team doesn't want to do it, so they go to another team. If it's baseball, they'd always go to the Yankees. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They just go to where the money.
But you also have people who are like, I don't care about the bag. I want to do something else. Perfect example of that is Cesaro.
Yeah.
Or Claudio, whatever you want to call him now. He was offered a bag, and he was like, nah, I want to go have fun.
Yeah.
And he now he's the Ring of Honor world champion as of last night.
It's fucking dope.
Well,
he's
Tony
been around a long
Ring
time.
Of Honor.
He was in,
yeah,
like,
you know that, right?
I think he,
like how much, like, you know Tony Khan bought Ring of Honor, right?
Oh, really?
He owns, like, everything, the video library, the rights, the whole nine. He owns it all.
That's
and he's
crazy.
Trying to run them as two different – he runs them as two different shows. They had their first pay-per-view last night. And, you know, Cesaro went over – like, again, what AEW is doing is more reminiscent of anything that – if you're looking for something Attitude Era-esque, AEW is actually where you should probably be looking.
That's why I fucking liked it. That's why – if you go back and listen to all the shit I was doing before I got banned, it was all like, this is going to be the Attitude Era. This is going to be the
best thing
ever. I fucking love this.
And like
and
I
then
said,
I went there and I acted like
then,
I was in the Attitude Era.
Even in its infancy, it wasn't doing the type of shit that it's doing now.
I probably should give it another chance to grow.
Like,
yeah.
You've missed so many, like, crazy gimmick matches that they've had, like, since the crowd. Like, during COVID, they had their growing pains because they were only able to be in one venue, and I get that. And then now that things have, like, opened up and they're traveling again, it's easier for them to do different things. But, like, the feud that they got with the Blackpool Combat Club and the Jericho Appreciation Society has been fucking money.
Yeah.
Dude, everything Eddie Kingston touches is fucking money.
This is my dream, and it's probably about at least 10 years out from happening, but it might be possible. Picture this. WWE is in fucking Colorado at an arena where they fucking sell pre-rolls. And fucking Matt Riddle comes out and smashes two bongs together like Stone Cold with the beers. And is just smoking weed in the ring, and everybody's fucking smoking weed, and it's the new Stone Cold, but with weed instead of beer, and it's the biggest name in the fucking world. That would be the shit.
I can definitely see some. I can definitely see something like that occurring.
That would be
like
the fucking
shit. If you're looking for an Attitude Era style AEW's that they have no problem with blood. Like there's blood. They had a whole fucking match called Blood and Guts a couple weeks ago. It was like War Games, but on
actually,
like,
to be honest, probably the last time I watched AEW was last year. On the day they took me to the Looney Bin the first time, it was AEW Blood and Guts, and I sat in the emergency room and I was flipping channels, and the only thing on was AEW, and I was like, "This my life's never going to get lower than this." I'm sitting in an emergency room watching AEW. This fucking is the worst.
Like. Shit, MJF's promo like a couple months ago was fucking fire. Best promo in the last 10 years.
Is he still with them? Wasn't he fighting with them or something?
No.
Didn't
okay,
he walk
again,
out of some event?
It wasn't a walkout. So this whole thing is a work. And a lot of people are determined to say that it's a shoot, but it's not. It's a work. And what delayed it was CM Punk having to fucking break his ankle and needing ankle surgery.
the original plan was for them, you know, for him to do this crazy promo, which he did, fucking bury Tony Khan, which he did, and then walk off, let Punk be the champion, and then come back around all out, and then take the title from Punk and go on this monster heel run with the title. That was the plan. But that promo was absolute fire, bro.
I believe it. Dude,
the first time it ended with him saying, cut me, you fucking mark.
Dude, the first, I think I saw clips of it. Dude, first time I ever saw fucking MJF, nobody knew who he was. It was at All in Chicago, and he was walking around the whole, like, all the other wrestlers were there. Everybody knew who they are. They're big names. They're walking around with security, doing their meet and greets. MJF was a nobody, and he was walking around with the fans the entire weekend, cutting promos on everybody. I was in line to meet Rey Mysterio with a fat guy standing next to me in, like, a fucking he had on a shirt of some wrestler, and fucking MJF sitting at the table next to us while we're in line just starts talking shit about the guy standing next to me. And he was, like, actually hurt, the guy standing next to me. He, like, didn't know what to do. He was sitting there so sad. And MJF was just sitting next to us with his fucking cashmere scarf on, to be like, look at this fat mark in his DX shirt or whatever, just shitting on him, dude. And he just did this the whole weekend, just right in people's faces, just walking around, cutting promos on everybody. No security, nobody with him. He would do anybody's podcast there that wanted him. He was just walking table to table, talking to everybody, and he was fucking great. And I was like, this guy, it seemed like it was almost like a tryout for him. You know what I mean? Like, like it was like he was still trying to earn it, and he fucking did it, and now he's there.
I will tell you right now, all his gripes about wanting more money were definitely legit. Like, he should be getting paid more. That being said, I'm almost positive he got paid. This is supposed to be what happened, and Punk's injury derailed it, and he's just taking time off until Punk gets back.
Hell yeah. No, I'm
because everything that's happening right now in AEW is kind of plays into what that actual promo was saying, that, you know,
I
almost
imagine
him
Dave
coming
Meltzer
back with a faction of original AEW talent and just fucking mopping everybody and being like, nah, this is our house. Fuck you.
That'd be cool. Because I fucking read some Dave Meltzer shit earlier, and he was saying how the Brock Lesnar walkout on SmackDown Friday was like MJF at Double or Nothing or whatever. And I was like, what happened there? So I guess it was just work, and Dave Meltzer's playing into it even more.
Yeah, well, Brock was probably a work, but I don't think so. I think that was something that happened that they kind of just blew out of proportion. And
yeah.
I don't think, you know, maybe he did leave and was like, oh, damn, this is dumb. And then he called Vince and was like, hey, what the deal? And Vince probably was like, hey.
I thought
like,
maybe
listen,
Vince called
him. They got me dead to rights on some dirt, and I got to go.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. I assumed he heard the news. He was like, fuck this, and he left. And then Vince called him and was like, listen, settle down. Do what's best for the company. It's all good. And then he went back. That's what I imagined in my head happened.
That same. Except it was a matter of him being like, look, bro, like, you can leave when this is done. But they didn't force me out. I left on my own because I know for a fact I fucked up.
Yeah.
And Brock being like, all right, well, I'm just going to finish this last little bit of money out, and then we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. It was like, it's like if I was trading dab swords for blowjobs, like, nobody's going to say anything. You know what I mean? But if there were like even like 20 people working for me and all relying on me, and I was taking money out of the company to get blowjobs, they would find out about it and probably want me gone.
And again, I don't see Brock just walking out and being a bitch like that. He likes his bag too much.
Yeah. But it does. It's a nice display of loyalty to Vince. I appreciate it.
Fuck that old man.
Oh, word. I think it's time to fucking wrap this thing up. I got to go to McDonald's and get my Chihuahua some chicken nuggets because he doesn't want to eat dog food.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, well, it was good talking to both y'all. I'll get up.
Hell yeah, yo.
Let me know the next time.
Hell yeah, dude. Thank you for calling in, Ernesto. I did like 2-3 a.m. shows last week, with one with Kent, one with Dennis, and then we were just on Xbox with Obi, and we were like, let's do a show. So I just fucking set it up. And, yeah, I will definitely – I will definitely let you know next time we're going to do a show. It's nice having the fucking gang here. And, yeah, thank you, Dylon. Thank you, Ernesto. Thank you, Obi. Fucking love you guys.
And we out.
And, yeah, we out.